Rider Nation, William Powell, bringing the energy, bringing the fight, bringing the fire every game day, every practice. Let's go, Rider Nation.
I'm ready.
This is the Piffles Podcast, your Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast, episode 156. We still haven't been canceled. I don't know why I'd cancel us. My name is Alex.
I'm Steve.
And I do not believe in cancel culture.
So you don't have a name?
I canceled cancel culture, which means I canceled myself, so you can't cancel me.
Give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. Give us a like on Facebook as well, facebook.com/Piffles Podcast. And hit up the website, piffles podcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Elf and Stone Street. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elf and Stone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Not just the whole street. We're not that big yet. Check them out right now. Dairy Queen on Elf and Stone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. We're also a proud member of the CFPN, the Canadian Football Podcast Network, and a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. Guys, it's been a couple weeks since we've done this. We got some free agency news to talk about, so let's get right to it. Time for the opening kickoff.
The minute you say it, I start laughing. I don't know why.
Because it's the greatest cheesy intro for anything of all time. Guys, free agency. Let's start with just a couple of the losses. One of them, a couple of them that we knew that were coming. Charleston Hughes officially signs with the Argos. Solomon Elamimian retires. Defense taking a big hit there, but also with Cam Judge signing with the Toronto Argonauts after his NFL tryout with the Vegas Raiders. That right there is the big loss for the Riders on defense.
I think it was very telling when the Riders came flying out of the gate and signed two Canadian linebackers when they got the Herman Reed twins, that Cam Judge, they might have decided to take that step away from him. I think they hoped he was going to end up down south, but going to the east isn't the worst thing that's going to happen to the Riders this year. So I'd love to have him in Rider Green, but football's a business.
You're absolutely right. It was a foregone conclusion the moment they went crazy on the Canadian linebacker signings. But what choice did they have, really? They couldn't wait it out, especially when you've already lost Elamimian. And you have to shore up that linebacking core. No matter how valuable that guy is, you have to make sure you have a backup plan. And they did, and he went elsewhere. It sucks, but like you, I'd love to see him in Rider Green, but I'm okay with him joining literally everybody else out in Toronto.
And you got to think, though, he's going to be basically on one-year rolling contracts until he decides he doesn't want to. Maybe the NFL is not the place for him. So the Argos only got him for 1 year. Whoever signs him next is probably only getting him for 1 year until his NFL window closes. So unless he's going to stick around long-term, why throw the money at him?
And he's still young enough. I think he's only 26 years old. So he's still got a couple more off seasons to give the NFL a shot. But like you mentioned, signing the Herdman, Reed twins, Justin and Jordan, able to keep the ratio intact, at least on the defensive side there. But Rodgers signing Larry Dean, which was a pleasant surprise, although I guess it apparently wasn't too surprising for a lot of people. But Larry Dean going to shore up the middle of the defense for the Rodgers.
Well, last time we talked about who is going to be that veteran presence on the defensive side, and Larry Dean up the middle, there's your guy right there.
An instant and quality replacement for Solomon Yellow Eminem.
Who still says that's the best name he's ever been called at Taylor Field, the east sidelines. Of course, we all knew the Riders were going to sign offensive lineman Evan Johnson. That's exactly what they did, and he sounds absolutely pumped to come home. So we're excited to have him here, and it's a great interview. We'll have to get him on the show sometime. But also signing
you, if we get him on the show, I will not be the one that introduces him.
Yeah, you you had your chance on that. You failed a couple years ago at the Combine.
Hashtag Huskies.
Huskies.
And the other Johnson they signed. So Micah Johnson coming back after his brief, brief stint in BC with the Lions.
I just can't believe that the Riders could land two sets of twins on the same day.
What's that, nothing, brother from another mother kind of thing?
Well, you look at Micah and you, I think they're twins.
Basically the exact same person. If you look at them close.
Yeah. Evan and Micah, the Johnson twins. Come on. But no, like Micah Johnson, it's glad to have him back. 2020, the Riders gambled on keeping Charleston and letting Micah go. This year they decided, you know what, maybe we're going to go the other way. I'm glad he's back in green.
Also sticking around in green, John Ryan. So Riders going to beat teams one point at a time. I'm not the biggest fan of this signing. I know I'm in the minority of that here with the Rider fans, but I wish they would have just gone younger and gone with one kicker as opposed to a couple, especially if Brett Lawther is not going to be coming back.
I can't see a single thing wrong with that. A single thing wrong with that.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
I don't think I could be less excited about a signing. I mean, punters as a normal signing aren't all that exciting, but he had no directional punting ability whatsoever last year in a league where directional punting is probably infinitely more important than distance punting. I'd rather have a guy who can kick it between the 10s for 40 yards than a guy who could boot it 60 through the end zone every time.
But when you look, where else was he going to go? It was either this or essentially retire, I think, for John Ryan. So let's give him his last hurrah and maybe get a Grey Cup on the way out. So
not opposed to the signing. I just wish that they're going to go. They should just go younger at this point, but I make fun of the amount of singles, and we were kind of having a little bit of fun of it at his expense there because there was a lot of singles in 2019. But throughout the season, he did progressively get better at actually pinning teams deep, and he took a little bit off the kick to try and make that work. So kind of found that balance of, you know, punting in the CFL against punting in the NFL where you just boot the crap out of the ball and get it as high as you possibly can. So he did improve, and hopefully that's what we see in 2021. Couple more signings really quick. Welcome back to Kevin Francis, who was gone for a couple of years, but you'll remember him in the Chris Jones era. So he's back, and he's just another Canadian body, which doesn't hurt to have around.
Solid depth signing. Could take him or leave him, but obviously a lot of his teammates were happy he's back. So obviously he's a good team guy.
And maybe my favorite signing of the last little bit, they signed another quarterback, Luke Falk from the J-E-T-S, Jets, former, I think, who was he, second round pick? Like, he was with the Jets. I can't hold that against him. Everybody sucks when they play for the Jets. So, going to come in and compete, and that means six quarterbacks are coming to camp. Let's list them off here. Cody Fajardo, James Franklin, Luke Falk, Tom Flacco, Mason Fine, and Isaac Harker. If I'm Isaac Harker, I'm saying, you guys, I don't fit the mold anymore. You can call me Farker. Five guys with F last names, and then you have Parker, who seems...
I almost wish we were a video cast so everyone could look at the disapproving look Steve gave Alex via Zoom.
Ow.
On that. I knew it was coming. That was the worst part. I knew where Alex was going with it, and Steve just did not
approve. And you still laughed, so there's that.
I mean, that was a high-quality dad joke, I have to say. That was 10 out of 10, 5 out of 7, perfect score. that was pretty good.
Ryder seemed content on bringing six quarterbacks to camp and always looking for the next one. And that's exactly what they should be doing. It's the most important position. So the more that they can bring in a guy who has legitimate playing experience, especially in the NFL, doesn't hurt to bring in.
Well, Riders are bringing in six quarterbacks, but Tron is bringing in like a dozen defensive ends. I don't know. Everyone's sign happy this year. It's funny. Like people are complaining about how many players are being signed by certain teams, and like everyone's signing players right now. It's crazy to think how many people are going to rosters.
You know what? That gives me a lot of comfort that we might actually see football this year, because there's got to be a lot of money going out the door, especially in Toronto. We got to see it. And I want to see these guys fight it out at camp.
Opening kickoff presented by Kathy Feston of Royal LePage, Regina Realty. Let's get to the Churchill Brewing Company odds and end zones. Speaking of hopefully seeing football in 2021, Randy Ambrosi's statement last Friday was a really weird statement, I guess on Thursday it was, where it just said we have to find a way to play. And that's all the Canadian press put out. And it was an interview he did with Dan Barnes, and that spun off Randy kind of doing the tour around the CFL and doing all the media. But what I got out of this was that we have to play. We have to find a way to play. They're not looking at any kind of bubble situation, at least not yet. And they're going to find a way to play. Do you buy this?
His statement was basically control C, control P from last year. Like, he copy and paste. He said the exact same thing last year. And I'm trying not to be pessimistic, and I'm not. I think they got to play. Like I've said that before. I'm worried about what they actually have in place other than vaccines are the solution for everything.
Sorry, I ignored everything you said after you said control P. Paste is control V.
Get oh, right. Yes. Sorry. P. Heavy nerd.
So my big takeaway out of this was that no bubble. Okay, fine. They're going to have a plan in place to travel around. Okay, fine. We're seeing how that's working in the NHL right now, which is not good. But anyway, they're going to go that route. The NFL did it, so why can't they? But Randy mentioned something about they might even play a couple games without fans. Do you think they would actually play a couple weeks in the season without fans when it's a fully, fully gate driven league and you need to have fans in the stands to generate any kind of revenue?
I think if they have an idea that they're going to be able to get fans in later games, I think they make it happen just to get football going.
What do you do? Do you postpone the season 2 more months, or do you play, or even an extra month just to play 2 games without fans in the stands? I don't know.
Well, and they're saying that June 10th, that's the opening kickoff. That's still the plan for when they want to kick off the season. So obviously that can change and more than likely will change, especially if there's any kind of a requisite of having fans vaccinated to be able to go to games. So they're going to have to be flexible with that. And that was one thing that Randy said a whole bunch as well. We're prepared. And Dave Naylor actually put out a report saying the CFL and the PA are putting final touches on the return to play plan and will roll that out to the provinces for approval very soon, which that's actually a nice thing to hear, because that's not something that we heard last year. We didn't hear anything about a return to play plan. We just heard that, oh, we have a bubble situation in place, which I don't think ever really happened. I think that was just appeasing the fans at that point. But the fact that they're already saying we have a return to play plan, that's good, right?
I'm just happy the league and the players are actually talking to each other. Last year, they seemed so disconnected on what the other side thought the other side was doing. The fact that they're actually talking about this, maybe there actually is something going forward here.
Well, you said it. There's been a lot of chatter especially over the last week about return to play, about plans, about being flexible. But we're hearing more now than we ever heard for the entirety of the 2020 season. And then combine that with as I said before, the money going out the door and all these signings. It's there's a lot of hope. I was the negative Nancy on our last show with the 75%. I'm saying right now, we will see CFL football in 2021. 100%, it will happen. That's not any kind of source thing. That's not any kind of guarantee that is my prediction 100% it happens.
I just can't see how they can't play. It probably won't be a full season, full 18 games. It might be a shortened 10-game season, which I think is kind of the number that realistically that's what we might be looking at. But if we can get football at Labor Day or just shortly after that, I think that's a huge, huge win for the CFL. And it just shows that they are serious about getting back to play and they don't want the league to die. It just comes down to how much more are the owners willing to lose. So is it worth it for them to play 8-10 games or not have a season? They're going to weigh that, I guess. But I think the general consensus is they're going to play. So if you guys had to guess right now how many games a season will be, what do you guys have?
I'm around that 10-game area plus playoffs. I think that's probably the sweet spot. I don't see them getting a full season in.
I'd say there's zero chance we get a full season. I'm thinking somewhere between 12 and 14.
I'm around that 10-game mark. So if we can get any more than that, that's just gravy in my opinion. We had a couple questions that came in. And we're going to go back to kind of the talking, discussing Cameron Judge a little bit. What will the options be at linebacker for the Riders in the coming season for who they currently have on the roster, but also what free agents could ease that departure of Cameron Judge?
Well, obviously they brought the Herman Reed twins in to take that side spot. You brought in Larry Dean up the middle. I think a guy like LJ McCray could move up to that other linebacker spot pretty easily. As for who's out there, I don't know. There's still some interesting names that are free agents. Enoch Mwamba's definitely been a guy people have been talking about, but he also commands a heavy paycheck. So I don't know where the Riders are at right now.
I think the plan is pretty clear at this point. Go with the Herdman twins, Larry Dean, and see what happens and hope for the absolute best.
Well, they could also pull Lucchese Purifoy down to that Sam linebacker spot as well. If it's not LJ McCray, it could be Purifoy. And that kind of leads to the next question is, could Eli Buka step up as a possible starter at defensive back? And to me, that's kind of, I think that might be the flexibility plan that Jeremy O'Day and Craig Dickinson might have in place, is if they can start Edom at safety and Buka at one of the corners, you can move LJ McCray up or Lucchese Purifoy up, and you have your cover back linebacker, and you have a lot of flexibility with the defensive backs and the whole defense with having two Canadian starters in the backfield.
Well, you can easily get to, I think if we did the math, you could easily get to 8 Canadian starters before you even get to Buka. Cause you're going to have your receiver, you're going to have your offensive line. You got one of the Herman Reed twins. You got Mac or DeBeer. You got Edom. That's 7 right there. Oh, there's another one. Who am I missing? I counted 8 the other day very easily before we even got to Buka. Now I can't even remember where I was at.
Well, they could even go both defensive tackles, right? So there could be 8 there and possibility of 9 if you go with Buka.
So, yeah, like, we're actually very well set at the Canadian depth this year.
And the last question that we got in, and this seems to come up quite often here, should the CFL diversify its broadcasting rights, not solely give them to TSN? Would that help at all in having a season put in place or the league in the long run?
Yes and no. it's hard when TSN technically owns a team now. I don't think that there'll be a yes vote for giving CBC the rights, especially considering CBC basically gutted all their sports coverage. And I don't know if Sportsnet's even interested. And they're part of MLSE anyway. So what do you do?
So. I mean, we know that the TSN's got the contract for, what is it, 3-4 more years at quite a hefty chunk of change. They're not giving that up for any reason, let alone to allow another broadcaster to come in and take some of those TV rights away. This goes right along with that whole pay-per-view idea that keeps coming up every 3 weeks or so. And Jacques Cartier on Twitter had a great, well-read thread about why it's a ridiculous idea. It will not happen. You're not going to push away a major sponsor and a major TV broadcaster for a one season plan, even if you could legally get out of that contract. There's no valid reason, no viable reason to make it happen.
Honestly, what the league needs to do is go on TikTok more. That's what they need to do. That will solve all the problems. But no, seriously though, what actually might actually help the league is more play on CTV. I understand that, yes, we're no longer in a analog TV world, but a few more games on CTV, like, you might catch some other people just flipping around channels that don't carry the sports packages. Like, get more on the lower number of channels. You might actually get some more viewers.
Well, I like that, especially if you throw one game a week on there. Throw one of the Friday night football games, the game that starts off at, or maybe it's the late game that starts at 8 o'clock. Put that one on. Just bring in that audience. And actually, speaking of bringing in an audience, is one thing that would help with that, especially if you put it on a basic cable package channel, is the single game betting story that came out this past week, where Canada is now one step closer to single game betting being legalized. Of course, you can still bet on like Bet365 and those sites, but those are offshore sites. We're talking about Canada officially having this done properly. But that would be huge for the CFL. If you can put $5 on, okay, well, Vernon Adams, his over under for passing yards is 266.5, and he's sitting at 260 with the final drive or something like that, you're going to want to stick around and tune in and watch that, because you're going to be invested in that. And the NFL has done a great job of that, and other leagues have done a great job of being able to make something like that work. So if you can get prop bets going in the CFL, that causes nothing but more eyes to watch the game, more money being put onto it. The league could partner with whoever it ends up being that runs this, and it's only good for the CFL, more eyes watching and more money coming in.
The things that really pushed through the explosion of the NFL is fantasy football and sports betting. That is why the NFL is the huge juggernaut that it is, and that's why it became must-see watching, because people stopped just watching their team. They started watching everybody, because, hey, my guy's on that fantasy team. I better watch the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, I got the Jaguars at minus 230 to cover the spread. They're going to watch it. Like, degenerate gamblers and just basically college bros playing fantasy football caused a massive explosion of the NFL.
Well, think about this too. Think about your workplace. How many people don't watch the NFL but have a fantasy football team? I can tell you that the ladies at my workplace, not a lot of them actually pay attention to the NFL, but they're in a league, a fantasy league together, just the ladies at work. And they pay attention every single week. And they have, I think the winner gets a case of wine from everybody. Like, that's, I mean, it's a huge deal for them.
The biggest sports pool in the world and the biggest gambling thing is March Madness. And no one knows anything about college basketball. They just follow it because, hey, they got a cool mascot. I'm going to pick them. The Duke Blue Devils will definitely beat a tornado if it was a St. John Storm, and they pick that team. This is, like, unfortunately, sports isn't that, like, yes, we're not big numbers nerds like Derek Taylor, but we do follow stats. We do follow that stuff. But when you sports is fun, and unfortunately, gambling makes it better. It's ice cream with sprinkles. That's what it is. I'm going to go back into degenerate gambling mode. I'm going to be Artie Lang here in about 3 weeks minus the Coke problem.
Could you imagine sitting at Mosaic Stadium and just like going on your phone and watching, it's the final drive. Can Cody Fajardo lead a last second field goal and you throw $5 on it? You're even more interested in the game than you were before. And I can see so many people doing that inside of a stadium, let alone people that don't even care about the game that only watch their own team. They'll watch other games for that exact reason. And the funny thing about this is the NFL, we're talking about how they made such a big success out of this. Look what they're doing with their TV contracts. They have their 10-year contract or whatever they have with all their four major networks are coming up. The NFL asked for a 100% increase in TV revenue. They want double the money. ESPN pays $1.9 million for Monday Night Football or whatever it is. They're asking for double that. They're asking for $3.8 billion. And they're going to get it because the NFL, when they play, they're the number one watch show. And that's what the CFL has to try and capitalize on. Create those viewers. Get people watching, even if they're watching just so they can try to win, you know, $40 on a little prop bet of how many passing yards somebody's going to have.
But if you're going to do those prop bets, do not be like the Super Bowl streaker.
Yeah, don't bet on yourself. That's actually illegal.
Well, you can't. Well, the thing is, though, you can bet on yourself. Just don't open your big yap about it. Go on a radio station and tell everyone that you bet on yourself. And you told everyone around you to bet on you as you run onto the field. Don't do that.
Looking at you, Steve, you're the one that's closest to the field.
Yes, you are.
Of all three of us.
I'm literally a hop, skip, and a jump away, so.
I'm going to put $20 on Steve running on the field.
Just push Ferlin. Just push him over the edge.
Well, hopefully in the next couple of months, we'll find out a little bit more about the single game betting. And like I said, if we can get it going here in the CFL and get it going in Canada, that's nothing but good for this league and create more eyes on the league, which is ultimately more money on the league, which is exactly what they need, especially at this time with the uncertainty of being able to play. So if they can get, even if they can't get fans in the stands, at least for the first couple of weeks, if we can throw some prop bets down, at least there's a little bit more viewership watching. People start to pay attention a little bit more. Chances are more people will eventually go to games.
We could get money lines on Korean baseball during this pandemic. That's how crazy much people wanted to bet. Korean baseball. Think about that.
I've got $50 on John Ryan kicking a single in game one.
the odds on that one's like you put down $100 to win 10 cents. That's not.
Yeah, the return on that is $52. Yeah. So not worth it. Not worth the risk. Well, gentlemen, I think we've kind of covered it here. There's not a heck of a lot else going on right now, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we can hear a little bit more about the CFL. Is there anything else you guys want to bring up this week?
If there's anything else, the Argos probably took it.
Actually, sorry, I got one thing, and this is kind of self-serving. Regina Thunder fundraising auction is coming up during the pandemic. All these teams got hit hard, so usually our biggest fundraiser is the Dinner Champions. Of course, we can't do that this year, but we're still doing the silent auction, except we're taking it online. Rob Begg has donated an autographed jersey. So I think we have one or two Rob Begg fans who listen to this show.
One or two.
And there's going to be some cool stuff. So look for that. It's going to be up in the beginning of March here and going to be hate to say that we got more Edmonton Eskimo stuff donated than Rider stuff. I don't know how that happened.
And good news, if I win that Rob Begg jersey, I can't end his career twice.
I'd be afraid of what happens to him if you win that jersey. So, Steve, stay away, okay?
Yeah. I will stay away.
But, like, get this. Of all people, Matt O'Donnell is donating something to this auction. The guy refuses to come to Saskatchewan, but he'll gladly support the Regina Thunder football team.
Does he count? Does he qualify as hashtag once a rider, always a rider?
Considering he'd rather try to play for the Raptors instead of coming to play and report to camp in Saskatchewan, I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Okay. Well, we'll have to figure that out. Maybe we'll throw that out to the fans and see what they say. We'll put a poll up on Twitter on Wednesday once this show comes out. So we'll see what they say. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for us here on the Piffles Podcast. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at Real Alex D. And that's it. Yep.
Steve's not paying attention.
He's probably putting prop bets down on the.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he's putting bets on Matt O'Donnell signing with the Riders. Steve's like just putting bets down on it.
Just mashing down the money on that one.
And follow me, don't follow me. I don't need your pity follows. Greg on sports.
Yeah, you don't need any real follows either.
I don't. Yeah, block me. I don't care anymore.
And give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/Piffles Podcast. Of course, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Got it right this time. Special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty and Churchill Brewing Company for their support making this show possible. Guys, we'll leave it there, and we'll talk some more football in the next coming weeks. Until then, take care. This is Tyler Gilbert, Ghost Behind Your Mind. The Ghost Behind